like to thank everyone for coming out tonight. We'll read in Philippians chapter 2. So after the Gospels, Acts, Romans, then the Epistles. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I was thinking tonight about this passage and just the tremendous person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to just... Hopefully you can think about him a little different tonight. Verse 5 talks about the mind. And we'll go back and read from the first of the chapter here for a minute. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Verse 1 basically says, if any of you have compassion, if anybody has compassion, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's a kind of a snapshot of the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't do things for his own benefit, his own good. He didn't walk into a room trying to put on a facade of being superior to other people. That's one of the, I might as well confess here, it's one of my worst, though it is my worst attribute, is my mind. And you can hide things on the outside. If you're a good actor, you can maybe you're troubled about your soul tonight. Maybe you're a young person here and you wonder what's going to happen when I die. And you think about that. And you think, well, I'm not ready to meet God. And what's going to happen? But on the outside, you don't want to portray that, do you? You don't want to, for other people to know. That would be a good thing if you thought that way tonight. If eternity bothered you. But so many times it doesn't, and we try and hide things in our mind. We try and hide secrets, and we try and cover up things that we thought of that we shouldn't, things that are bad that the Bible calls sin. Sin is a thing that sinners do, that separates us from God. I don't know if you ever had a fight with your parents, fight with your family, and there's tension in the house, right? And you're not getting along, and you know there's a divide there. But it's like that between sinners and the holy God of heaven. And there's a divide that's not just uncomfortable, but it's a divide that's separating you from the God of heaven and from everything he can offer. But Christ's mind wasn't like that. He looked upon others, put them first. He didn't mind coming into this world and be born in poverty. In a place there, Nazareth, where the streets run sewers, and being spat upon. He was willing to do that. That was his mind, his mindset. It's not about my comforts. It's about making you comfortable for eternity, not just now, not just here and now. But Christ Jesus came into this world thinking about your eternity and your secure eternity. You know, you can be saved tonight and never have to worry about your soul again. Never, ever. Never have to worry about that big division between you and God. You could leave here tonight trusting the Lord Jesus and never have to worry about that again. That would be some night, wouldn't it? Your mind would be changed. Some people say, well, just let Christ into your heart. But the Bible says the heart's deceitful. What you need to do tonight is change your mind. Change how you think about God. Change how you think about yourself. Maybe some of you think, well, I'm okay. I'm a good young person. I'm a good person in general. Good student. I do things that are right. Maybe you don't think that you're that bad. You don't think, as Luke was saying, you don't think you have a need. But the Bible tells us, spells it all out, that everyone has a need. And God is just that thing to fulfill your need. So Christ's mind was geared for other people. Verse 3, not through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Yeah. Verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That simply means he was God himself. You say, well, God was still in heaven. How could God be on earth? Well, the Bible teaches the Trinity, three persons, one God. And Jesus Christ came here, and he didn't take all those things that were all his attributes in heaven, all his glory, all his power, a spoken word that could explode nothing into the universe you see before you, not alluding that there was a big bang, but just creation itself. But verse 7 tells us that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Well, you say, well, okay, he was in the form of a servant. He could still be a servant and be in heaven, right? That's what angels are. But he came down further than that. He stooped down to where we were and was made in the likeness of men. How humble that must have been to be in heaven, worshipped by angels, the highest being in the universe, and to be made low like us. Sometimes we think we're pretty good, strong, we're athletic, good at sports. Where he could hold all the oceans in the palm of his hand in heaven. Here he slept down in the hull of a boat in a storm because he was tired. He still was God. He could say to the man, stretch forth your hand, the man with the withered hand. And when he stretched it forth, it was whole, just like it was supposed to be. But yet he hungered. The devil tried to break him there that 40-day temptation in the wilderness, and he tried to get him to worship him, and he tried to do miracles that it wasn't the right time to do, and all these things. And still being a man, there was nothing in him, not one thing, that could bow to sin. He did always those things which pleased the Father. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I can't say that I'm obedient unto death. I know I'll be there someday, but I'm not going to be obedient on it. If I could, I'd go out kicking and screaming. But I know my death is coming. Do you know yours is? It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Everybody has an appointment to die. His was different. He was obedient unto death. But when it says even the death of the cross, that tells what kind of death it was, the most shameful death. Those people there hung on crosses outside of Jerusalem. They were there for crimes. They were there for disobedience. They were there for thinking of themselves, not thinking of others. But he hung on that cross for you. His mind, when he came into this world, was for you. And that's why he was on the cross. People think about the resurrection today. Hopefully they think about it more than today. It was quite a thing. Those people went there with spices and whatever they came with to finish off the burial, and they saw the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. And this one that had come into this world such a distance, all the way from heaven, and he spent 33 years on this earth and proved himself a man. When they hit him, when they whipped his back, blood came out, just like you. When the punishment of God fell upon him, the punishment for sin. Do you think you ever sinned? The Bible says you did. When that punishment for sin was given to him, he paid our debt. And he was made to cry out. Just think of it. This tremendous God from heaven came to this earth in the form of a man. And he paid for your sins just so you wouldn't have to go to hell. That's a tremendous thing. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That would make heaven rejoice tonight if you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your one and only Savior. The one need that you have, we all have needs. If you're young, your parents take care of most of your needs. Maybe when you get older, you can look after some of them yourself. But there's one thing that no man on earth today can take care of. A problem that can't be solved here on earth. It was solved here on earth. But that man that could solve it has gone back to glory. He died on the cross for your sins. And that's the message of the gospel. That Christ Jesus from heaven, he came down. He lived here on earth. He was put on a cross, crucified. Paid the debt right there. No more payment. God was satisfied. They buried him. And there was no need that he should stay in the grave because he did everything that he should have done. And he was righteous. He had never sinned. So there he was raised from the dead. An open grave. And that's something you can have tonight. You know, there'll be lots of people. There'll be lots of people in heaven and there'll be lots of people in hell. And tonight there's a choice that is yours. And it just depends on who you put your faith in. Yourself or Jesus Christ. That hinges, everything hinges on that. Your whole eternity, it depends on who you trust. Would you change your mind tonight? Now, if you walk into this building not saved, thinking, I'm okay, I don't need anything, could you change your mind tonight? Could you look at this one? Don't focus on Luke or me or anybody else here, but look to Jesus Christ. He's the one who paid the debt. And he's the one you put your trust in. He can bring you to heaven. There'll be no anger towards you from God. None at all. That vast rift where you couldn't go near would be all gone. And there will be no punishment for you if you trust him tonight. We'll pray. Father, we give thanks for this meek and lowly Jesus. We think of all he could have done when he came into this world. He could have stricken people dead for things that they did and things that they said. But he wouldn't, and he is the one who died. He took their punishment on himself. On that cross, he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And what a person he is. And just help someone in the meeting tonight to realize their need and to put their full trust in him. And we just thank thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll sing number 49. Number 49, have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Verse 2, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Number 49, thank you for coming.
Have you any room for Jesus?